You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today we're going to start some 2022 election coverage with interviews of primary candidates for key races on both sides of the river. In Illinois, there are a group of candidates seeking to oppose incumbent Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, and one of them is my guest today. He's Paul Shimp. He's a former state senator from Monroe County in downstate Illinois in the Metro East area outside of St. Louis. Paul served in the U.S. Marine Corps, attended the U.S. Naval Academy, and retired as an officer. Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today.
You're welcome, Robin. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the first question I like to ask candidates is why they're running. You just served a term in the state Senate. We resigned, I believe, January of last year. But what's motivated you to run for the top office in Illinois?
Well, I'm running for Illinois governor because Illinois needs common sense conservative leadership that we can trust. And it's just not in my DNA to sit by idly and watch J.B. Pritzker push our state closer and closer to the precipice. J.B. Pritzker has a vision for Illinois that is not in line with what the people of Illinois want. I believe the people of Illinois want a government that is going to be limited and not overreaching and restrictive. And really, the strength of Illinois is its people. We have the talent, we have the resources, we have the infrastructure that Illinois should be the strongest state in our country, not lagging behind our neighboring states in the Midwest. What I offer the people of Illinois is leadership, that we are going to get Illinois going back in the right direction, that we're going to rein in the administrative agencies, that we're going to prioritize the rights of parents in Illinois, and we're also going to support law enforcement so that we have safe communities and safe families. That's why I'm running for Illinois governor.
I saw on your website one of the highlighted issues you're focusing on is political reform. And just this week, former House Speaker Mike Madigan made his first appearance in court in Chicago on corruption charges associated with the largest utility in the state. Talk a little bit about your thoughts. I know the General Assembly has passed a few measures. Have they gone far enough? Do we need to do more?
We definitely need to do more in Illinois. It should surprise precisely no one that Speaker Madigan was indicted. But we need to remember that Speaker Madigan and his actions are a symptom, not the cause of corruption in Illinois. In Illinois, the problem is we have a political class that really has lost its focus. We don't have enough transparency in our government. And one of the things that I will do as governor that is very different than what J.B. Pritzker has done is if legislation is not passed in a transparent manner, it will get a veto from me, regardless of whether I like it or not. One of the things that I've been saying and will continue to say is that the truth is not afraid of transparency, and a solution does not require silence. So if there is legislation that is passed in a manner that is not transparent, I will veto that legislation. The best example that I can give you of legislation that was not passed in a transparent manner was the Criminal Justice Reform Bill, House Bill 3653. That was really the last piece of legislation that I voted on that was significant. This was passed in the lame duck session in January of 2021. And this was a bill that was passed at 4 a.m. in the Illinois Senate. And the final version did not have a committee hearing. People did not know what they were voting for. I voted no on that, but it still passed. And that's something that, had I been governor, I would have vetoed it just on the terrible process alone. So we need a governor that's going to insist on transparency in legislation, and that's something that I will do once I'm Illinois governor.
I think most people, take their civics courses in high school, and they read about the proper process of, going through committee, legislation going through committees and you know, being going through a more formal process, and that really doesn't happen. If you could, you know, expound on that. Is that the way it usually happens in Springfield, or do they take more measured approaches to bills and go through the committee system?
Well, some bills go through the correct way, and there is supposed to be transparency. But what we see happening is, at the end of the session, when we start coming up towards deadlines, stuff gets, you have floor amendments where you have existing bills that are amended to change the content completely, and it is amended on the floor. So there is no hearing for that legislation, the final version, and it's voted on without really the public, or let alone the lawmakers, knowing exactly what is in it. So one of the things that I'm going to insist upon as governor is that there be transparency in legislation. There's no reason why you can't have a one-day cooling-off period between when the final version of the budget is drafted and when it's actually voted on. If we ever want to restore trust in government in Illinois, it starts by governing and legislating in a trustworthy, transparent manner.
You mentioned the crime reform bill. That's one of the items I wanted to ask you about. Downstate, in our area, that legislation's pretty controversial. I'm not sure all the provisions have taken effect. You can clarify that if you'd like, but what are your feelings on that bill as far as its potential impact on public safety in Illinois?
Well, not all of the provisions have come into effect yet. When they passed it, they said that it wasn't going to go into effect immediately. There was going to be a delay. But the biggest problem with that bill was it was drafted with the law enforcement community being kept in the dark. They were intentionally not told what was going to be in it, and it has some provisions that are extremely problematic for our law enforcement community. And really, it should not have been passed without law enforcement being at the table. Our law enforcement professionals put their lives on the line for us every single day. They represent what is best about our state and nation, and the fact that they were not involved at all in that process really is a reason why it should have been vetoed, and it should have never moved forward.
It seems like there's some buyer's remorse across the country on some of these, and I don't want to over dramatize it, but especially on cash bail, getting rid of the cash bail system. It seems like, anyway, some of the Democrats that have passed these are perhaps stepping back. Is there any sense of that here in Illinois, or are they going full steam ahead?
No, I've seen some of that from a few individual lawmakers that have said, hey, we need to take a second look at this. The problem is, and this is something that happens so often in Illinois, is in the rush to pass stuff, they say, okay, well, this bill has problems, but we will let's get it passed now, and then we will do what's called a trailer bill later on to fix the problems in the legislation. Unfortunately, the trailer bills, more often than not, do not come around. So you have legislation that is flawed, that is passed in a less than transparent manner, and then it never gets fixed. This issue of support for law enforcement, this is going to be one of the issues that is going to be key in this election coming up. It's one of the three issues that my campaign is focusing on, and that's the idea that if we want safe communities and safe families in Illinois, it starts with unequivocally supporting our law enforcement personnel. And that's not a Republican value, that's an American value, and that's why we're going to get the crossover votes that we need to defeat J.B. Pritzker.
I have friends in Chicago that are not political, that are really concerned about the streets of Chicago and being safe at night, even down in the downtown area. That's a concern that affects a lot of us that enjoy going there on occasion. And when you have people that live there saying, oh, be careful. If you've got things shopping on Michigan Avenue, I was actually told, Paul, to don't put them in a bag of one of the, you know, like a Saks Fifth Avenue or something like Brooks Brothers, put it in another, you know, nondescript bag. Things like that, right, in broad daylight. What are your thoughts on what we're going to have to do or what this role the state can play in addressing the crime problem in Chicago? Or is that a purely local concern?
No, know, the governor needs to be involved in trying to make Chicago and all the other communities more safe. One of the things that we need to realize, and I live close to St. Louis, Missouri. I'm about 30 minutes south of downtown St. Louis, so it's at least a five-hour drive for me from where I live up to Chicago. But one of the things that we need to realize is that Chicago is the largest economic engine in Illinois. And when Chicago is not safe, that has devastating consequences for the entire state of Illinois. So I'm not one of the people that has been trying to divide Illinois into two states, or basically try to divide the people of Illinois between downstate versus Chicago. I mean, we have to work together. We have to recognize that Illinois is a great state because of all of us, both Chicago and downstate. Now, we have to have, if we're going to ever solve our financial challenges that we have, we're going to have a vibrant Chicago. That's just the fact of the matter. And it does involve the governor being involved and the governor bringing people together and holding people accountable. One of the qualifications that I have that nobody else has running for Illinois governor is I am a former prosecutor, and I have prosecuted stuff at a very high level. I have worked attempted murder cases. I've worked drug cases, rape cases. Basically, I was a prosecutor in the Marine Corps, prosecuted everything you could imagine. And then when I deployed to Iraq, I worked the trial of Saddam Hussein. I was the lead American attorney advisor in the trial of Saddam Hussein. So I am the candidate running for Illinois governor who has the record as a prosecutor to bring law enforcement and prosecutors to the table and hold Kim Fox accountable. I can say, look, you need to do a better job prosecuting people. You need to hold people accountable. The governor has to do three things in order to make our cities more safe. First, the governor must make it clear that he unequivocally supports law enforcement, that law enforcement are the best and represent the best part of our state in our country. Now, I'm not going to be out cuffing and stuffing people and throwing them in the back of cop cars, but I am going to be on the streets. I am going to be standing with our law enforcement to show people that they have the unequivocal support of the Illinois governor. The other thing that I will do as governor is I will be vigilant about making sure that our law enforcement have the training and the funding to do their jobs. I will not let any legislation go through that is going to defund our police. And the last thing that I will do, and this is something that is completely different from J.B. Pritzker or anything that anybody else that's running for governor is talking about, is I will hold myself accountable. The governor is responsible to try to bring people together so that our law enforcement can do their job. J.B. Pritzker has not been involved. He's been missing in action. He hasn't done anything to try to change the trajectory of violence and crime in our state. When I am governor, if I cannot significantly lower the level of violent crime in Illinois, I will hold myself accountable, and I will not run for re-election. I am amazed that J.B. Pritzker has the audacity to run for re-election after how badly violence has spiraled out of control under his watch.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Paul Schimpf. He's a Republican candidate for governor here in Illinois. There are several running, and he's been talking a little bit about his background, why he's running, and highlighting some key issues. And I have to say, when I start reaching out to candidates, it's just nice, and I'm not endorsing anybody here, but Paul's website was very accessible for wanting to try to get a hold of his team for an interview. There are websites of other candidates, and I won't mention them, that there's no ability to contact anybody to set up an interview. So I do appreciate that. You're one of the few that did. And I guess it shows me that you're not afraid to be tested by the public and the media. And, again, I appreciate that campaign.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And really, if you want people's votes, if you think that people should vote for you, you need to be able to answer questions. You need to be transparent. You shouldn't be hiding from either the media or the public. And we do try to make myself and my lieutenant governor running mate, Carolyn Schofield, we do try to be available because we have have the ideas, we have the background, that are what our state needs, and we're not the least bit afraid to talk about it.
I want to turn a focus to the state's finances and then our economy. A lot of leaders in Springfield, Democratic leaders, are touting the state's fiscal condition, that it's turned around from the dire conditions it was in before. How do you see that? I mean, is that being propped up by some of the federal assistance, or is the state truly kind of more closer to fiscal stability?
Well, it's always nice to have a budget, and the impasse, which was almost 2 years, did some really devastating things to our state. So we have budgets, but we don't have budgets that are going to address any of our long-term financial challenges, and that's where I really take issue with what Governor Pritzker and what the Democratic leaders of the Illinois General Assembly are saying. There has not been any meaningful reform or anything that has meaningfully addressed our long-term fiscal challenges. The reason that we have had, that we are in better shape right now is, quite frankly, we've been bailed out by the federal government. And when the federal bailout funds stop, we're going to be just right back where we started. So I don't think it's intellectually honest to say that Governor Pritzker or the Illinois General Assembly have gotten our long-term financial challenges addressed. They simply have not. We have been the beneficiary of a massive federal bailout, and that is why they have been able to pass budgets for the last couple years.
What are some of the things we need to do to address these long-term state of the fiscal of the long-term fiscal condition of the state?
Well, the biggest thing that we need to be taking a look at, and this is something that J.B. Pritzker has been unwilling to even address or acknowledge in his last two State of the State addresses, which are not supposed to be political addresses. They're supposed to be addresses where he levels with the people of Illinois and talks about what is going right and what is going wrong in our state and what we need to do. We will never be able to get our financial affairs in order until Illinois is a state where people want to come to start businesses and raise families, or they want to stay here. There's a lot of different economic metrics that are tossed around. You have GDP, you have unemployment rate. The ultimate metric is, what is our population doing? Are we gaining population or are we losing population? And in Illinois, for the past 2 years, we have suffered population losses. Over the last last calendar year, I think the number is that we've lost 114,000 people has been our net population loss. And that is to compare our neighboring Midwest states, they've all had slight population gains. But unless Illinois can reverse it to where we become a state where people want to come, start businesses and raise their families, we're not going to be able to solve any of our long-term financial challenges. So really what we need to be doing is we need to be figuring out what we need to do to get people to want to come here and start businesses. And that's where Illinois is still coming up very short. J.B. Pritzker touted, an economic report from CNBC that said that, our infrastructure is number one in the nation. And yes, we have tremendous infrastructure, but we are the 47th out of 50 states in terms of being least business friendly. This is just not a place where businesses want to come because our bureaucratic red tape really strangles business. So we have to have a new climate where we're going to make Illinois a business friendly state. And until that happens, we are not going to be able to get our financial house in order for the long term.
You probably, obviously you're busy campaigning, but it may not have noticed, maybe your staff picked it up, but Iowa just passed some major tax reform. Is part of the idea, it was for individuals and businesses, is part of the idea Illinois needs to do is, I know the Democrats, Pritzker pushed the graduated income tax. Do you have some thoughts on that, that we need to reform our taxes to encourage businesses to come to the state?
Well, my biggest I have two tax reform proposals. First of all, right now, if somebody described Illinois' government as predatory, that would probably be a fair description. But if we want to put an end to predatory government, we have to start getting rid of predatory practices. And to me, the biggest predatory practice that we have in Illinois government is we charge tax on tax. in Illinois. And everybody's just getting obliterated right now by the high cost of gasoline. The reason that motor fuel is so expensive in Illinois is you have the value of the motor fuel, then you have federal motor fuel tax, then you have state motor fuel tax, and then you have local motor fuel taxes. But then the state of Illinois comes in and charges sales tax on the entire aggregate amount, which to me, the idea of charging tax on tax is obscene. And that is probably the most regressive tax in the country, because as the price of motor fuel rises, the amount of sales tax that the state of Illinois is charging goes up as well. So one thing that we can do in Illinois that would make us more business-friendly and restore trust in government is we need to stop charging tax on tax. I'm proposing a constitutional amendment that just simply says, in Illinois, state and municipal governments may not charge tax on tax. You should not be able to, you know, assess fees and taxes and then do a double tax on it in the form of sales tax. So that is something that can be done to really get rid of a predatory practice and make Illinois more business-friendly and restore trust in government. Another thing that needs to be done is we need fundamental reform to our property taxes in Illinois. Now, I got out of the Marine Corps as a lieutenant colonel in 2013, and I came back, brought my family back to Illinois, and got into politics in 2013. So that's 8 years ago, and the entire time that I've been in politics, people have been saying, we need to do something about property taxes in Illinois. It's chasing people out of the state. It's a threat to people's retirement plans. It's a threat to family security. Well, what I am proposing for property taxes is that we make a fundamental change and say, you know what? If you want to raise somebody's property tax, it can only be done via referendum. It has to be done at the ballot box. It has to be the result of a vote to increase property taxes. I think that you should not be able to reassess property values unless the property in question changes hands, the title changes hands, or you have a zoning reassessment. But people who are, you know, have property, they need to be able to plan for their retirements, and they need to know that they're not going to have their property values reassessed and their taxes go up unless they have a chance to vote on it and it's done via referendum. So those are two things that would be changes to our tax policies in Illinois that I think would make a tremendous difference, that would really increase trust in government and do away with predatory government practices.
You mentioned schools in your opening as well. How do you rate the job Illinois schools are doing educating our kids? And what are you hearing a lot of pushback as you go around the state? I know you're campaigning, hearing people a lot on local schools, is what we saw in Virginia in the governor's race there late last year.
Well, it was back in June of 2021, when nobody else was talking about parents' rights, that our campaign proposed an Illinois Parents' Bill of Rights. So this is back like about 7 months ago that we started talking about the issue of parents' rights. And parents' rights, what I mean by that is just the idea that it should be parents, not the government, that determine their kids' education, health care, and maturity into adulthood. And how that impacts schools is, I think that education decisions need to be made by parents and local education leaders. Now, when I got the idea for a Parents' Bill of Rights, a lot of people have said, oh, that was in response to the masking rules with COVID, and that's not true. I got the idea for an Illinois Parents' Bill of Rights after floor debates on a Senate bill. I think this was in 2019. But I've been married to my wife Lori for 21 years now, and she's seen the veins pop in my neck, I would say probably four times during that period. Well, the last time the veins popped in my neck was during the floor debate on legislation in the Illinois Senate. The Illinois Senate was debating a bill that said that schools were going to be able to give contraception to 12-year-olds without even notifying parents. And my oldest boy was 12 at the time. I've got two boys. They're now 16 and 14. But back then, my oldest son was 12. And I got up during that debate and I said, look, you know, having been a lifelong resident of Illinois, I've gotten used to incompetent government and taxes that are way too high. But I will never accept or tolerate a government that prevents me from raising my children in accordance with my values. And that's when I became convinced that we needed a Parents' Bill of Rights in Illinois, because we need something to reset the relationship between parents and government. It needs to be clear that it's parents that are the number one decision makers on raising their children. And as that applies to education, education decisions should be made by parents and the school board members that they elect. I live in Monroe County. My kids go to Waterloo Public Schools, and I have the phone numbers of every single school board member. If I have a problem with something that's going on in schools, those school board members are accessible and they are accountable to me. Unfortunately, though, in Illinois, what we're seeing right now is the Illinois State Board of Education, which is made up of unelected bureaucrats. The State Board of Education has supplanted the local school boards in making education policy, and that's something that, as governor, I will have a fundamental change in that dynamic. My first act, I made this promise about 9 months ago, and I'm going to keep this promise. My first act as Illinois governor will be to call up the state superintendent of schools and say, hey, start the process of rescinding the culturally responsive teaching standards. The culturally responsive teaching standards were put out by the Illinois State Board of Education, and those teaching standards inject Marxism into the teacher certification process in Illinois. So I believe that education needs to be done, needs to be controlled at the local level, not by bureaucrats on the Illinois State Board of Education. And I say that as somebody that is the son of two school teachers. My mom taught sixth grade math. My dad taught high school accounting. They were both public school teachers. I had my mom as a student. I had her as a teacher when I was in sixth grade. You know, I'm pretty adamant about, you know, supporting our teachers and giving them the tools and resources that they need to do the vitally important work that they are doing. But education decisions need to be made at the local level. It does not, you know, those education decisions should not be being made at the state level. The Illinois State Board of Education needs to support local school districts.
Paul Shemp has been my guest today on Heartland Politics. Paul's a Republican candidate for governor, Illinois. And if you want to learn more about Paul, could you share your website, please?
Sure. My website is Shemp, and then the number 4, Illinois.com. So you have to be able to spell my last name, which is German. It's S-C-H-I-M-P-F. Then it's the number 4. And then it's Illinois.com. That's my website, and that's, you know, the best way to find out information about my background and what Carolyn Schofield and I stand for.
Thank you for sharing that, and thank you very much for being my guest today on Heartland Politics.
I really enjoyed the conversation, Robin, and I look forward to talking with you again in the near future.
Heartland Politics is a production of WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. If you enjoyed this conversation, you can hear more on the Heartland Politics podcast, available at WVIK.org, in the WVIK app, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You got this, girl.
Love Girls, the podcast, is all about storytelling and empowerment.
Our mission is to share a space for women and girls to talk about the stuff that matters to them most. Love speaks to the support we give each other as we search for our own path to success.
L, we can lead the way.
O,
overcome barriers.
V,
value each other.
E,
and empower each other. That's love.
Because every girl has a story.
And our stories matter.